Congregation may be seated. We gather here this afternoon at a great time of sorrow for the Murray family. They have lost someone who is very precious to them. But I know that your presence here at this service this afternoon brings great comfort to them, as have your many prayers and calls in recent days. As a church family here in Londonderry, we, on behalf of the session, committee and congregation, we want to offer and express our heartfelt sympathy and prayers at this time to the family circle from the passing of our dear brother Ernie, as he was affectionately known, to his dear wife Evelyn. 70 years together of marriage, what a blessing that has been. There aren't many who reach that milestone. That's a very precious thing. And we do sympathise with you and we do pray for you, that you will know the Lord's sustaining grace in the days that lie ahead. To Ernie's children, to his son Robert and wife Jesri, to Norman and his wife Liz, to Ernie's daughter Heather, and to his son John and Yvonne, and to Thomas and Lorna, and to Anne and her husband King, and to all the grandchildren and to the great-grandchildren, and to Ernie's older sister Ruby and her family, and to the wider family circle, we want to assure you all of our prayers, even at this difficult time. It's always sad to lose a loved one. Very sad indeed. But we thank God today we do not mourn as those that are without hope. We have that wonderful assurance. The Bible tells us those who die in Christ, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that is the glorious hope that is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God today for the life of our dear brother Ernie. We thank God that he trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made preparation for this day that is before us. Therefore, let us give thanks to Almighty God for the life of this dear man by singing the words of our opening praise. When all my labours and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Just let me take this opportunity just to ask you to make sure your mobile phones are on silent or switched off so we don't disrupt the service. And following the singing of this hymn, Reverend Ian Brown, who was our late brother's minister here for over 26 years, will come and lead us to the Lord in prayer. But let's stand together, please, as we sing this opening hymn.
Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank Thee that we're found together in Thy presence this afternoon, and that we can come to the One who is the sole Head and King of His Church, who is the Lord of Lords, who is the Eternal Lord, the Blessed and Only Potentate. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can derive all of our comfort and our blessings from Thee this day. We rejoice in the mention already in the service here of how Ernie Murray sought the Lord, found him as his Saviour, was of that theme, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. We thank Thee, Lord, for the life that he lived by Thy help. We praise Thee for the testimony that he had. We thank Thee for the support that he was in gospel ministering in this place and right through his total involvement in the Free Presbyterian denomination. We thank Thee, Lord, for the grace that he showed, the stability that he evidenced. We praise Thee, Lord, for the fortitude that he displayed. And so we are bidding farewell today to a great soldier of the cross and a stalwart of the Lord Jesus Christ, one that represented him well upon the earth, that never demurred to speak well of him and to lift him up as the only Saviour of sinners. We come today and we think of the family, and in their great loss, we pray that Thou wilt travel with them. We think again of those that would have walked the road to Emmaus many, many years ago in the days of our Lord's earthly ministry, how their hearts were disconsolate, how their world had caved in upon them, how all of their fondest hopes had been smashed to smithereens. Their Saviour, he had been crucified, and with that crucifixion, they felt it was all over. But Lord, we thank thee for that day of glorious resurrection. And we read as they went down to their home village, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And how they reflected later, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And Lord, we pray that that will be the experience of all the members of the family this day and in all days to come, that the Lord will walk with them and that they will do like those two disciples back then did, that they will plead with him, Lord, abide with us. We pray therefore for Mrs. Murray, ask that the arms of thy care and thy tenderness and loving kindness will be wrapped tightly round about her, that she will know the sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Lord, for what she has been to Ernie right through these years, the helpmeet that she has been, and that of a very high caliber. We pray that thou wilt therefore be merciful and gracious to her in these days of need. We ask for all the members in the family, the sons and the daughters, that thou wilt come near to Robert today, and Norman, and John, and Thomas, to Heather and to Anne, and may they be conscious of thy speaking voice, thy comforting words. We think of the hymn writer who asked the question, is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. And we praise thee that to that question comes a very definite answer. Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. When those waves of sorrow roll, affliction hits the soul, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. And so we pray that that all-loving, wonderfully sustaining Lord Jesus will go with every member of the family, all of the grandchildren, all of the interconnections. And we thank thee, Lord, that the family before us today is a testament in many ways to the nobility of our brother Ernie and the stability and graciousness of his wife as well. And we can see that reflected right through the circle. And now when they stand in need of thy help, we pray that thou wilt come near and minister grace unto every heart today. There is only one to whom we can come. There is only one that we will find consolation and comfort from today. And so we pray that the blessed Lord Jesus, of whom we read in Scripture, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The one who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, be their sustainer, be their stay, be the one that supports them every step of the journey from this day forward. But Lord, we rejoice today that for our brother Ernie, he wouldn't be swapping places with any of us, because he has got to the house of many mansions. He's got to the Father's home. And Lord, even as we were singing today in this opening praise, when by the gift of his infinite grace, I am afforded in heaven a place just to be there and to look on his face, that will be glory for me. And as it was in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and the trumpet sounded for reception and greeting on the other side, Bunyan said as he looked in and peered as the gates were closing, and he had seen just a glimpse of the splendor of that holy city, I could have wished myself among them. Well, we find before Ernie it's no longer wishing to be among them. He is there. He's in the presence of the blessed Lord Jesus, his wonderful Savior, his forever friend. And we pray that thou wilt therefore bless and challenge, comfort and exhort each member of the congregation here today May we, Lord, reflect upon his legacy and his testimony, and maybe most of all, reflect upon the written word of the eternal God. Bless our brethren as he leads the service, as he brings thy word, and may he know thee standing at his right hand today, enabling him, empowering him, and helping him to make much of the one that early served and loved, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in thy name and to thine eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Brown. This stage in the service, we're going to call upon Ernie's grandson, Mr. Stephen Anderson, to come and to minister in song. And then following that, Thomas is going to come and bring a tribute to his father. And we pray the Lord will undertake for them both, even at this time.
Could I thank Stephen for singing? It's not easy. I know that because I'm standing here, and it's very different standing here today than it is standing behind a pulpit on a Sunday. Can I first of all, on behalf of the family, say a word of thanks to the carers who came in four times a day to Dad. They not only carried out their duties diligently, but they always managed to get a smile to his face. I could also thank the Marie Curry nurses who sat with Dad several nights in the last days, allowing Mum and the rest of the family to get some rest. And also to thank the doctors and the district nurses who provided high quality care. On behalf of the family, I also want to say a word of thanks to the Reverend Wilkerson for his many pastoral visits. He was a great encouragement to Dad, and also to the family, even over these last number of days. And I want to thank all of you who prayed for us and prayed for Dad as well. I thank you today for coming. Your presence here is very much appreciated. Dad was born in Grey Steel on the 12th of March, 1931. He was the youngest in a family of six, and he was the only boy. This may be the reason that he was given so many names: John, James, Ernest, Ewan, Murray. As a child, he was called John, but then when he went to school, for some reason, his name was changed, and from then on, he was called Ernest. Later in life, he decided to go abroad on holidays. He applying for a passport, he needed to first get his birth certificate. And when he came, he discovered to his amazement that Ernest wasn't even on it. Nevertheless, the name Ernest has stuck with him down through the years. Growing up, following in his father's footsteps, he became a farmer, eventually buying his own farm in Gortgar. He was a hard worker, working all hours of the day and night and in all sorts of weather. And for that reason, I never thought that Dad would have had as long a life as he did have. In his teens, he met Evelyn Barnett, and they were married on the 29th of May, 1952, in Fochlinvale Presbyterian Church. And last year, they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary, receiving a telegram from the late Queen. They were blessed with six of a family: Robert, Norman, Heather, John, me, and Anne. He also had 16 grandchildren and 27 great-grandchildren. As well as a farmer, he was elected to Lima Valley District Council in 1977, and he served as a district councillor for 12 years. He also served one term as vice chairman of the council, and he also served several years on the Western Education Board. As a councillor, he sought to serve all of his constituents, no matter their class or their creed. And although I don't think Dad would ever have admitted that, I think he really enjoyed those times there on the council. In 1973, he began to attend Lima Valley Free Presbyterian Church It was there for the first time that he heard that he was a sinner by nature and practice, and that the Lord Jesus Christ had borne his penalty for his sin on the cross. And at a gospel mission conducted by the Reverend Gordon Cook, he trusted Christ as his own and personal Savior on the 20th of March, 1974, becoming a new creature in Christ. All things passed away, and all things became new. He had a burden for his family, and he longed that they also would trust Christ as their Savior. As a lad of 13, I can remember coming home from church one Sunday evening, and he telling me to go and open the garage door. It was just an excuse to get the rest of the family in. And I can remember him talking to me about my soul and about my need to trust Christ as my Savior. And he did it in a gracious manner, and he did it on many occasions. And I know this was also the experience of John and others as well. He loved and he prayed for his family. When asked what piece of advice he would give to the next generation, he said, "Trust in God, work hard, and be honest in all your dealings." And I think that is good, sound advice. He celebrated his 92nd birthday on the 12th of this month. The last number of years were not easy years for him. His health deteriorating, he became confined to the house and ultimately to his bed. Yet, despite losing his mobility, he always remained cheerful, showing a great interest in his children, his grandchildren, and also in his great-grandchildren. Can I pay tribute to Mum for the way that she cared for Dad? She was always at his side night and day. Her health, as far as she was concerned, always took second place. We will miss Dad, but Mum will miss him in so many different ways. While we sorrow today, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Because of that day when Dad trusted Christ as a Savior, we know that he is today with Christ, which is far better. The hymn writer said, "Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face what will it be, when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me." And you know, on Friday, Dad saw his Savior face to face. He's gone to be with him who died for him on Calvary's cross. It was his prayer that you would also trust his Savior, and thus not only meet the Savior, but meet him one day in heaven. Thank you.
I do thank Thomas and Stephen for taking part. It's not easy speaking of a loved one, and we thank them for taking part and the Lord blessing them. We want to leave with you a verse of scripture today from Hebrews chapter 9, a well-known verse of scripture. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." I know our brother, late brother Ernie, would want me to be faithful today to his Lord and Saviour, and to preach the gospel, and to leave no one confused about eternity, or no one wondering what happens, but rather to tell you plainly and simply what happens as you lie, as his body lies before us here today. See, death is a topic which it cannot be avoided, and we'd rather not speak about it. We have to be honest. It's not something we feel comfortable speaking about. We're much happier discussing something else, even today, even at this service. And we find it so difficult at the parting of our loved ones as they cross the river of death. We care for our loved ones. We nurse them, provide for them. We pray that they will be long with us. I thank the Lord that our brother Ernie had 92 years upon this earth. But even at that, we cannot bear to be apart from them. But they must go when the appointed time comes. You see, one thing none of us can avoid today, and that is death. The death is the great leveller. Death is universal. Visits every home. Visits every part of the world. Death is inevitable. And this coffin before us today clearly shows us, for it is appointed unto man once to die. The moment we are born, we are handed that ticket to the grave, that one-way ticket to the grave. None of us know when it'll come, when that end will come, but as sure as you're sitting before me this afternoon, each one here will face this day, this appointment of death. The grave brings an end to this present earthly existence. All that is familiar to your seeing, your hearing, your smelling, your tasting, your touch, it will be gone. And these earthly bodies will become cold and lifeless and will be laid in the grave to await that final resurrection on the last day. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Earthly loved ones and friends pass from our grasp. Earthly possessions slip through our fingers just like the sand on the seashore. All that we've trusted in, hoped in, and cherished in this life will be left behind, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. It brings an end, at least for the present, of all those we have loved and known here upon the earth. Our text before us today shows us the certainty of death, and also shows us that death is not the end. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And therefore, friends, it is vital, vital that you make preparation for this appointment. Our dear brother Ernie had made that preparation. That was one thing I was sure of when I went to visit him. He often spoke about going home to glory, especially in his latter moments. His health in recent times, as our brother Thomas has mentioned, has not been great. And since I became his minister, his health was always quite poor. He wasn't able to be up and about. He was housebound for most of the parts, apart from those trips to the hospital, which he detested. I've been his minister for just over a year and a half, and I never knew him while he was in good health. But yet, even when I spoke to him, he had that twinkle in his eye. He had that little humorous remark to make. He's always easy to chat to, always mentioned maybe the farming, maybe John out lambing, or he'd make a little joke about Thomas working one day a week in the ministry and so forth. And he's always that little twinkle in his eye and a lovely man to chat to and to get to know. But one thing I was sure of, when we spoke together, that one thing that was certain was that he loved his Lord, he loved his Saviour. He said to me one day when I was with him recently about 2 weeks ago, you know, he says, it's great to have the Lord. He said, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. Praise God, this afternoon, Ernie Murray is with the Lord. He is in the presence of his Saviour. He's no more pain. He's no more suffering to endure. And let me say today, friends, that Ernie Murray is more alive today than he ever was. Oh, yes, his mortal body lies before us in this coffin, but his immortal soul is in heaven's glory. This is not the end for him. This is the beginning for this man. This is the beginning for him. You see, friend, death is actually the separation of the soul and spirit from this human body in which we dwell for a little while. The body goes to the grave, but the soul lives on forever. Your soul, friend, is your most precious possession. We're told by the Lord himself in Mark 8 and 36, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? The answer to that question is simply nothing. There's no profit. We meet here today because of death, and therefore we must look at this truth found in our text here in Hebrews 9 and 27. Let me leave some questions with you on this text. Firstly, who are those who death will affect? Well, Paul is making use of something so certain that it's beyond dispute, no matter who you're dealing with. Death. It affects us all. It doesn't matter how smart we are, how ignorant we are. It doesn't matter that you're religious or non-religious. It doesn't matter what man believes. One thing that we're certain of is death. Man may argue over the existence of man and the beginning of man. Some may believe in evolution. We believe that God created man. And men may argue over that, but one thing you cannot deny is death. As it is appointed unto men once to die. This is certain. Men disagree about politics. Men disagree about religion. Men disagree about their favourite football team. But one thing men cannot disagree on is that all men die. You see, all ages die. Our brother Ernie was 92 there a few days ago. He's before us today in this coffin. You've all been to funerals of young people, even to children. All ages die. All classes die. The rich die. The poor die. We see even in the Word of God in Luke 16, the rich man died and the beggar Lazarus died. We mourned last year the passing of our Queen. Queen of England died. The beggar on the street dies. All classes die. It doesn't matter. All nationalities die. You can think of third world countries where there's maybe little health care and people die there, but we live in a modernized society with the greatest health care in the world, and yet men and women die. Death is universal. None can avoid it. It will come to us all. But secondly, how does death come? Let's note some things here. Well, it can come very slowly. Some do not die until they're well advanced in years, like our brother here. Even this past month, I think the oldest living person in the world passed away, a French nun, Lucille Landon, 118 years of age. She died. Yes, she lived to 118 years, but she died. We all die. And some have many opportunities to turn from their sin and to repent and make preparation for this day. They live to a long age. But some also die suddenly. We had a young man here last night testifying. Spoke of how his brother at 19 years of age was taken out into God's eternity coming from a youth meeting in a car crash, suddenly, without warning. God's word tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us know. None of us know that in this meeting that we will even reach home tonight, because death comes suddenly. One other thing that is certain is that death is sure to come. Appointed unto men once to die. And we're not only told that all men die, but we're told it is appointed unto men once to die. And who makes that appointment? Is it your doctor? Is it your family? No, it is God himself. We would skip this appointment if we could, but we can't. Because God makes this appointment for us. Just as surely as the day of your birth was ordained by God, so the day of your death is appointed by God. Job 14, verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And here's the simple truth of the matter. In the ever-present reality, God has penned, not penciled, he cannot change it. He's penned in on your calendar the day of your death. Now let me say, this can bring great comfort even to the family. Because sometimes as family members and when loved ones pass away, we often have that guilty feeling. Could we have done more? Could we have brought them to a different doctor? Could they have had different treatment? What if we had done this? What if we had done that? But friend, let me say this afternoon, God has appointed a day. None can thwart God's divine appointment. And therefore, as Christians, we can take great comfort in that truth. And for those that are not Christians here today, you should be terrified by such a truth. You cannot escape death. You may escape a lot of things in this world, and many do. We think of lawbreakers all over this world, criminals, terrorists who never face judgment, never face punishment for what they've done. But friend, each one of us will give an account of ourselves unto God. No one escapes death. It's appointed unto men once to die. But nextly, why does death come? Why are we here today? What has caused the death and decay we see all around us in the world? The answer to that lies with our first parents, Adam and Eve. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the sin of our first parents brought death upon the human race. When God created Adam, he warned him that disobedience would bring certain death. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Disobedience. Disobedience has brought this curse of death upon humanity, both physical and spiritual. And we are here today because of sin. Ernie Murray's body lies before us in this coffin because of sin. And each one of us in this room and listening online will die one day because of sin. Sin is the reason that everything is wrong in this world. Death, pain, sickness, murder, war, theft, greed, whatever it is, the reason is sin. This world groans under the curse of sin, and we all face death because of sin. Sin is the reason. And we are all culpable for it because Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that do good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ernie Murray sinned. Ernie Murray came short of the glory of God. He broke God's standard. He broke God's law. He was a sinner. He realized that. And he made preparation. Because he came and he repented of his sin. And he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And friends, today, each one of us here, we're born sinners. You might think, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I go to church, or I'm religious. I'm a good neighbor, a good person, all these things. But friend, the Bible says that we're all sinners because God demands perfection, because God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous, and he demands perfection from each one of us, and none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. Fourthly, what happens when you die? You see, death is not the end. Some wish it were. Something happens, see, after you part this life. Oh, dear sinner, listen to me, please, this afternoon. The terror of this appointment becomes all the more magnified when you read on in this text, because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And this is what makes death all the more fearful this afternoon. That we have to stand before a holy God. You'll not go down into the grave like an animal and cease to exist. You'll not be annihilated. But rather you'll stand before God in judgment when you depart this world. The one who dies in their sin is not merely going into the realm of the unknown. On the contrary, he knows in the depths of his heart that he's headed towards something that is sure. He knows he's headed for judgment, which is tantamount to condemnation, because if you die in your sin, you're condemned. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that at the end of our earthly journey, there are only two destinations, two abodes for our soul. Heaven, place of bliss, place of beauty, place of holiness, a place without sin, the place where Christ dwells. He said to his disciples in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. But where I am, there you may be also. And that is where Ernie is today. He is in eternal bliss with his precious Redeemer. And what comfort that is to the souls of his family, that he is in heaven's glory. And if you're prepared, friend, you can join him there one day. On the other hand, there is hell, a place of suffering, a place of separation from all that is good and holy forever, a place described as a furnace of fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And hell is that place created for the devil and his angels and all those who refuse to acknowledge their sin and repent of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only two destinations. No purgatory. No reincarnation. No second chances. Death is the end. Then you face God. Finally, How do you escape this judgment? I want you to listen to the next verse in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And just as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so it is just as certain that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And here we have the glorious hope this afternoon. The glorious hope of the gospel, that though we are sinners by nature, though we have brought this death upon ourselves, so Christ has given himself as a sacrifice to atone for our sin, to pay the price for our sin. And just as the date is scheduled that you will die and it will be kept, so the Lord's death was similarly scheduled, because we read in verse 26 of that same chapter, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Here's the good news this afternoon. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God against the sins of his people. He shed his precious blood that wrought salvation for all those who will turn from their sin and trust in him. And praise God, Ernie Murray, almost 49 years ago, at that gospel mission in Limavady, as he sat under that faithful evangelist who preached the gospel of saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, Ernie Murray responded to the call of the gospel, and he came as a lost sinner to Jesus, and he fell down at his feet, and he confessed his great need of Christ, and he was born again that night by the Spirit of God. He became a new creature, a new man. That's how Ernie was prepared for death. And that's why he is in heaven today, not because he was a good man, not because he was a good family man, a good father, a good grandfather, a good neighbour, a good man in the community. Not because he went to church or was religious or did any of those things. He's not in heaven today because of any of those things. He's in heaven today because he trusted in Christ alone to save him from his sin. You see, none of those things will get you into heaven. Oh, they'll help gain your entrance into a lost sinner's hell, but they'll never earn you a place in heaven, because all our righteousnesses, all our good works, are all as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Praise God, Ernie Murray was relying on the cross work of Christ alone for a soul's salvation. Friend, let me ask you, what are you depending upon this afternoon? What if it was you lying in this coffin before us? Would it be well of your soul? Have you made preparation for heaven? Oh, the Saviour died on the cross, bearing the sins of many. The prophet Isaiah put it this way: he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I urge you, friend, from the depths of my heart, I know it would be our dear brother's earnest prayer this afternoon, that you would repent, you'd trust in his Saviour. This coffin before us reminds us of the certainty of death, the reality of it for each and every one of us. We have this appointment that we will not miss. Have you made preparation for that day? Prophet Amos in Amos 4:12 said, "Prepare to meet thy God." And, you know, friends, we all make preparation in life. You insure your home, you insure your car, you're going on holidays, you book the hotel, you make preparation. You make preparation for your family, you maybe put money aside for their wedding, their education. You make preparation for so many things in life, and yet so few have any thought of eternity. Never prepare for what happens when this day comes, when this appointed day comes to them. Though Ernie was prepared. And friend, let me say, if you ever hope to meet him again, if you ever hope to meet him again, then you must trust in his Saviour. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that reunion one day in heaven? I know that was Ernie's desire and prayer while on this earth, that one day there would be that family gathering again in glory. Oh, I trust and pray that everyone gathered here this afternoon will be prepared to meet Ernie over there. How do you do that? Well, simply come as a sinner to Jesus. Come in your hopelessness, confessing your great need of Christ, that you're nothing before him. You deserve his wrath. You deserve hell, but he's merciful. He's a gracious God. He's long-suffering. And praise God if you come to him this afternoon and turn from your sin and call upon his name. He has promised in his word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, what a day this would be. That even in the midst of sorrow and grief over the death of this precious loved one, that there would be rejoicing in heaven over that sinner that is brought from death to life. Oh, friend, heed God's word this afternoon. I know that would be Ernie's prayer for this service here. That you would heed God's word. Not the words of a preacher, not the words of a man, but God's inspired word. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you prepared? I trust you'll make preparation and that one day you'll be reunited with our dear brother once again in heaven's glory. We're going to turn to our closing hymn, please. And these are words of entreaty to those who are still lost in their sin. Now think upon the words as we sing them together. The first verse says, but some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. And that would be our brother's prayer even this afternoon. At the close of this hymn, the moderator of our presbytery, Reverend John Armstrong, will come to the pulpit and close our meeting in prayer and give thanks for the food. And just let me mention, please, the family will be leaving straight after the service. They'll be going straight to the committal in Limavady. And they won't be returning, so just to make you aware of that, just be mindful of that. They're leaving straight away and they will not be returning. But they do thank you for your attendance here today. There's food provided for everyone, so please don't rush away. There's plenty of food, so please stay behind and have that time of fellowship together. And just let me give you some directions for the food. If you just go out through this door and through that little back hall there behind us, lift your food and come back in here. The tea will be provided here as you come back in. Come back in and take your seat again. But please don't rush away. The family have provided the food and please make use of that and spend some time together. But let's stand together as we sing this final hymn before Reverend Armstrong comes and closes in prayer. Just before we come to the place of prayer to seek the Lord's face, could I say, if I might be permitted, on behalf of the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, a word of sympathy and support to you, Ernie's family, at this particular time of sorrow and of loss. Of course, the Reverend Thomas Murray is a former moderator of our presbytery and highly regarded in our presbytery. There are other members of the family who likewise are members of our presbytery. And once again, each of them is held in the highest esteem as far as our congregations are concerned and our presbytery is concerned. And I think that's reflected in the large number of ministers and elders from our presbytery are here in attendance today. And we want to know that we have you in our hearts, that we're praying for you, and that in days to come you will know much of the Lord's grace and the Lord's presence. And so to you, Mrs. Murray, and to all the members of your family, we trust that the Lord will draw near to you and that the grace and comfort of the gospel will be your portion at this particular time. We'll bow together, please, just briefly in prayer. Eternal, our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee today and our hearts are heavy, because whenever one of God's people sheds tears, then the whole Church of Christ sheds a tear with them. And we acknowledge, O God, the sadness in parting. We thank thee for families. And yet, O God, we realize that within the closeness of families and within the love that families have the one for the other, when one is taken from that family, then there's sorrow and there's grief and there's sadness and tears. And, O God, we are glad that in thy great grace and mercy, Thou hast promised grace for such a time as this. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt remember Mrs. Murray and her family at this particular time. Draw near to their hearts. Comfort them each one. May the Lord be with them and surround them. And, O God, we realize that Thy word says the Lord is at hand. And, O God, we acknowledge that such a text can be translated as the Lord is at Thine elbow. And we pray, O God, that each of them at this time will know the Lord at their elbow, drawing near to their hearts and giving the grace and the comfort that they need. We're glad, O God, that we have the hope of the gospel. We rejoice in the many years that Thou didst give to our brother Ernie. We thank Thee for a life well spent and a life that bears much fruit and testimony. And he, being dead, yet speaketh. And we thank Thee then for his family and for what this family mean to our church and to our denomination, for what they meant to the congregations in which they have served and are serving. And Lord, we ask that Thou wilt therefore, in these days in which we live, grant that each of us will have that preparation made for the great eternity. Our brother has left the place of darkness, of death, of sorrow, of weakness, and he has gone to a better place, and he has gone to a better company, for he is with Christ, which is far better. And, O God, we pray then as we remember our brother and his witness and testimony, that Thou wilt grant that each of us will consider the life that he lived and the faith that he had and the death that he died and desire then to walk as he walked by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we bless Thee for this meeting, this day. We thank Thee, O God, for a sense of Thy presence. We thank Thee for the good things that have been provided for our bodily use. And we pray that as Ernie's family make their way now from this church and go to the graveside, that the Lord will be with them each one. And may they know the comfort of the Saviour himself, the one who wept at the grave of Lazarus, and who, even though he had wonderful plans in regard to the raising of Lazarus, yet when he saw the sadness of the family of Lazarus, Jesus wept with them. And, O God, we pray that Thou wilt give comfort and grace then, today and in days to come. Hear our prayer, separate us now in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.